This is Show Me Today, and we are joined now by Dr. Rachel Proffitt, who is from the University of Missouri and has a new program with $2 million in grant money to be able to put in-home sensors to monitor older adults in rural Missouri. Dr. Proffitt, tell me how this works.
The goal of this grant is really to help reduce, potentially increase rates of disability that we're seeing among older adults living in rural Missouri. The COVID-19 pandemic, and as it's continued, means a lot of our older adults and senior citizens are unfortunately putting off the timely and preventive care that they would normally otherwise be actively seeking. Many are, you know, it makes it difficult to get into healthcare systems. Scheduling is, you know, appointments are often limited. Having a trusted contact, be able to drive them into the hospital, and we're just, you know, not wanting to further expose themselves to COVID and or other diseases. And then, therefore, they wind up with, you know, continuing exacerbations of their conditions and reducing their quality of life. So my goal is to kind of help put a stop to that. And, you know, everybody deserves to live their lives to their fullest with the highest quality that they can. And this grant uses some amazing technologies, an amazing team of scientists and individuals in healthcare to help get these people back to the fullest lives that they can, living in their own homes in their own communities.
Now, speaking of homes, these will be in-home sensors that kind of follow the movement. And you even say vital signs.
Correct, yes. So all what we would call ambient, or there's no button pushing, no required interaction. They just kind of sit there. So it's sort of a combination of three different types of sensors. One is motion sensors, which most people are familiar with. They might have one, you know, on an outside light that will light up their yard if it detects motion. It's the same kind of sensor, and rather we would put it in the home in different rooms, so it detects when someone walks into that space and registers that there's an individual in
but it's
a bedroom,
not
in the kitchen.
Right. Yeah. But it's not a camera, right?
Correct. It is just a sensor. The second sensor is a depth sensor, and this is placed in an area where we can capture at least a little bit of walking, as well as a second one then in the kitchen, and getting at both walking and then upper extremity activities. The one that is able to pick up walking is able to detect when a fall has occurred, and that's a very important thing for individuals over 65. For somebody that falls after that age, the risk of hospitalization is, I believe, over about 30%, and then the risk of another fall goes up if they've fallen at that age, risk of fractures and other conditions. So that's something that we really want to make sure that we can either help detect and or pick up some signs that, you know, they might be at higher risk for falling, and help keep them from having a fall.
Now, are these
that's a depth sensor, and that just picks up, you know, it's sort of like a pixelated kind of look in the home, kind of a grainy, grayish image. So we can't tell who they are or what they're wearing, none of that, no facial features, anything. We kind of get a sense of like the size of the body, but that's about it.
Right. And you can tell if someone's fallen. Are these monitored live, or is the data gathered later?
It is not monitored live. However, when a fall has occurred, the algorithms in the in our servers in the sensor are able to, they've gotten to a good point to be able to say, this is a high priority fall that has happened versus somebody just kind of sitting down hard into a chair. It can say that's not really a fall. Or if someone, you know, kind of maybe slid a little bit slowly out of a chair to the ground versus tripping and falling in a really sudden hard fall. So that's what we call like a super priority fall. It then sends an immediate alert to the research team and then any other contacts that the individual has provided. So if they have a close neighbor or a caregiver that lives in the home, it will then send an alert and a call to them to help get them the services that they need.
So it doesn't really replace one of those alert buttons that some people wear, but it...
Correct. No, it does not. And oftentimes, they need to be in view of the sensor. So if they are in the bathroom, you know, we obviously don't put a depth sensor in there. That's a bit of an invasion of privacy, you know, and unfortunately, falls do occur in the bathroom. So yes, having something like that is an extra layer of protection.
And how do people apply for this?
So we are... I'm actually going to be likely opening up a site for recruitment. We are working with Aging Best here in Columbia, Missouri, and they work with the Senior Center here in town. And Aging Best, which is essentially the Area Agency on Aging for Central Missouri, so they serve Columbia and then kind of down to Lake of the Ozarks and sort of east and west a little bit of Columbia. So serving all of those rural areas. And so they work with the older adult population, and we're hoping to get a number of referrals from them.
And there's a third sensor, right?
One that goes under the mattress in the bed is able to pick up heart rate, respiration rate, and then sort of sleep restlessness and sleep quality. And they can detect, you know, if a person gets out of bed and then comes back in, which can be pretty telling as to how many times somebody gets up in the middle of the night.
Sure.
As to indicators of you know, other health problems that might be going on.
And then will they get a report of how they're doing, how the assessment, and then they can base their medical decisions off of that?
Yes. So part of this, in addition to having interactions with the occupational therapist, social worker, and nurse, we will be providing individuals with a tablet. That'll be for doing some of those telehealth sessions and interacting with the healthcare providers. But the other side of that is there will be a place for them to go look at their data from the sensors. And we've gotten it to a nice point where it comes up as simple, easy-to-view graphs that have red, yellow, green areas in them. So much like a traffic light, green means go, good. Red means kind of a caution, you know, something's not going quite well. And yellow is that sort of caution area. And we can show them their data and see, you know, they can say, oh, okay, I'm hanging out in the green area with regards to my walking speed and my heart rate, number of times I'm getting up in the middle of the night. Or they might look and go, oh, I'm starting to trend into the yellow area. Maybe I need to have a conversation with the research team, or maybe reach out to my doctor and get a sense of what's going on.
That sounds wise. And does it monitor not just the trips in and out of bed, the possibility of sleep apnea or the quality of a person's sleep?
So we're not getting at sleep apnea per se. That takes a more sophisticated test. However, the overall respiration rate and heart rate can be potentially looked at in addition to, you know, if the person does go in for like a sleep study, something like that. You know, it's not something that's intended to diagnose and say that this is what is going on. But if they have a spouse that says, hey, you've been snoring a lot, and they can then potentially bring in their data from the bed sensor to their primary care physician. And that's just another piece of the puzzle that their healthcare provider can use to help make some decisions on where to go next with their care.
Yeah. And in your news release, you pointed out a few things like possibly keeping a chair in the kitchen for people who have arthritis. My mom actually keeps one in the kitchen and sort of a stool, but I guess a chair would be safer. And being careful about carrying heavy pots.
Exactly. And that's going to depend on the goals of the individual. So that example I gave would be an individual who wants to be able to cook more and cook more independently. My mother, she loves quilting. And, you know, for her, if, for instance, if she were to start experiencing something like shortness of breath or fatigue or, you know, being diagnosed with arthritis, there would be ways in which we could potentially modify the tasks that go into quilting for her. So cutting up fabric, sewing, pulling out seams, piecing things together, you know, might there be different ways for her to go about doing some of those tasks, modifying some of the tools that she uses, you know, maybe making changes as to the amount of time that she's been doing it, breaking it up into smaller chunks of time. And so all of those then can be woven in, and I can then look and see how much time. So for her, I would put a motion sensor down in her quilting area to see, you know, hopefully, do we see an increase in the amount of time that she's spending quilting, which means for her that she's engaging in that occupation that is meaningful for her, and that's hoping to improve her quality of life.
And is there a possibility that this program could eventually expand across Missouri?
That is the goal. You know, we can show this at a more local level, and then if we can get interest from, you know, insurance companies or, you know, companies that go across the state or even across state lines, honestly, Medicare, Medicaid, I would love to have this be an option to be offered to individuals, more individuals, even outside of rural communities. There may be some adjustments depending on, you know, where the individual is located, because there are, you know, challenges for those that live in apartments or, you know, in a trailer versus a freestanding home. But the goal with this is that we can do some exploration and see what works, what doesn't, and how things could be modified to meet the needs of more diverse individuals.
Dr. Rachel Prophet from the University of Missouri, thank you for joining us on Show Me Today, The Voice of Missouri.